Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Turn in your Bible, if you have it, to 2 Chronicles 34. And we're going to start in verse 1. We're talking about victory in warfare. And if you've been with us the last four or five weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and how to defeat the enemy in your life. And we're going to get into more specific details, and then I'm going to give you all an opportunity to have me to pray over your strongholds, have me to pray over your places of weakness and the things that are broken in your life. And so we'll do that at the end, towards the end of this message. But in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1, we take up the story of Josiah. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, I have to admit, because I have a grandson named Josiah. And so I get a great joy reading about Josiah, the good king, here in 2 Chronicles. And he was a young man, 8 years old, when he became king. And so I have spoken to my grandson Josiah when he was 8 years old, when he passed through that eighth year. And I said, this is your year, Josiah. This is your year to get excited about the Lord and to come into fullness with the Lord. And I believe the Lord is doing a mighty work in his life, and he will in yours as well. Well, there's many things that we can learn about spiritual warfare here from the story of Josiah. And I'm going to start out reading in the scripture, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Well, first of all, brothers and sisters, if you read through the book of Kings, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and even back to the books of Samuel, you see that the Bible talks about many different kings, and there was a whole succession of kings, some for Judah and some for Israel. And then when the kingdom was united as the kingdom of Israel, then there was just one king. But many of these kings did right and walked in the ways of their father King David, whose heart was given to the Lord. And other of these kings had done evil and forsaken the ways of their father David and forsaken the ways of the Lord God. And so every time there's a new king discussed in those books of the Bible, it starts out by saying they either did evil in the sight of the Lord, or they walked in the ways of David, or they did right in the sight of the Lord. And so this young Josiah, who was 8 years old when he was named king, he was in the lineage of his father David. And it says here in verse 2 that he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Well, the first lesson that we're going to take from this story of Josiah is, first of all, when you have strongholds in your life, when you have ways that you have allowed the devil to come into your life and ways that you have engaged the enemy and he has defeated you, and we all have those ways. We all have ways that we've opened doors to the enemy and made agreements with the enemy. And sometimes those agreements come when we're very young and we're not even conscious of the decisions that we've made. We're not even conscious of the fact that maybe some of those ways that we've opened doors to the enemy were handed to us by our mother and father. The open portals were given through generations of disobedience in our family, generations of curses spoken against our family. And so Josiah, it says, when he was a very young man, he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And so my admonition, my encouragement for you today, brothers and sisters, when you are beset with struggles and you have strongholds and you have sin in your life, maybe addictions, maybe ways that the devil is stomping on you, is get your eyes fixed on Jesus, on that prize. Get your eyes fixed on him. And no matter what condition you're in, if you're taking a breath today, if you are alive today, you can get your eyes fixed on Jesus. You make a determined effort, an intentional effort, to get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Get your eyes off your circumstances, off your addiction, off your weakness, off your powerlessness, off of whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe your finances are falling apart. Maybe you have addictions to alcohol or cigarettes or drugs or whatever it is. You get your eyes on Jesus. Make an intentional choice, a purposeful choice to follow Jesus and get your eyes off your circumstances. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:24 about the race that we're in. He says, Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or exercises self-control. And nor do they obtain a perishable crown or a crown of, a wreath of bushes or branches, but they receive an imperishable crown. Therefore, Paul says in verse 26, therefore I run not with uncertainty, but I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so the second point I want to make to you today regarding spiritual warfare, after you have gotten your eyes fixed on a prize, after you have determined with an intentional choice and an intentional submission of your will to seek the Lord, to come to His place, to seek the Lord and seek Jesus Christ, the second thing is you have to start preparing your flesh, your body, for discipline, to discipline your body and bring it into subjection. You can't just let your body have everything that it wants. If you do that, you're going to go down in flames. You can't just give in to all the desires of your body, whether it has to do with sex, whether it has to do with food, whether it has to do with drink or drugs or lust of the eyes. 1 John 2:16, John says, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And so the devil comes to us, he entices us with these lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. He entices us to believe that the things of this world are going to satisfy us. He entices us to believe that if we can indulge more things of this world, whether it's material things or food or drink or women or men or whatever it is, sexual addictions, whatever it is, if you can just indulge yourself more in those things, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to find peace. That's the lie of the devil. Those things, yes, some of the material things we need. It's nice to have a bed to lay down at night. It's nice to have food on your plate and a car to drive. But the things that really satisfy, the things that really bring lasting peace and lasting fulfillment to us are those things of the Spirit, those things that God gives us, the peace of mind, peace of mind that know that we are eternally His, that we are eternally saved, that the devil cannot take us down, that we have victory in Jesus Christ. Those things come from God and from God alone. And so prepare to discipline your body. The second point, prepare to discipline your flesh. No one who went to the Olympics to run in the races there or run in the or to ski in the ski races, no one went there without extreme discipline in their sport. They buffeted their body. They prepared their body. They trained with good food. They trained with good liquids. They ran many miles to get in condition. They lifted weights. They did all this stuff because they knew that their body was going to have to be highly disciplined, highly trained, and in very good condition to compete and win in the races they were in. And so it is for us. You have to learn to discipline your flesh. You have to learn to say no. And if you lack the strength to do that, James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God for it. And so God will give it to him without reproach, and He will give it to him generously. So if you have a lack of wisdom and how to deal with these addictions, you ask God, God, give me a strategy. Give me a way out. And He will, as we learned last week, He will give you a way out. He will bring somebody into your path to pray with you. He will bring somebody into your path to show you a way out, maybe show you a way to the church, show you a way to a Bible study or to a radio broadcast, whatever. He will show you a way out. So you discipline, you make up your mind. You're not going to give in to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Maybe you might have to just put a filter on your computer if you don't have the strength to take care of pornography yourself. Put a filter on that computer and don't let those sites come onto your computer. And so as you deal with these issues, make sure that you understand that a walk with Jesus Christ, a walk in the Christian life, is a disciplined walk. Jesus came to make disciples. When he sent the disciples out in Matthew 10:8, he says, "Go into the lost house of Jerusalem and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and heal the lepers, cleanse the lepers." And he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And so as you are sent out as a disciple, understand that you have to learn to discipline your flesh and take authority against those things that are coming against your flesh. Well, how do you do that? First of all, you start by listing everything in your life that is a stronghold of the enemy, whether it's pornography, whether it's a desire, a lust of your eyes, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Maybe it is that you're proud. You're too proud to get into a church. You're too proud to go to a Bible study. And you start speaking and purging those stronghold areas that the devil has established in your life. In 2 Chronicles 34:3, it tells us, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, we're speaking of Josiah here, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father, David, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down, the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images he broke in pieces, and he made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Jerusalem and Judah. And so you speak against, which is what Josiah was doing. He was coming against, he was speaking against those demonic strongholds, those high places, those places where there was strongholds of the enemy. And we have those places. Sometimes it might be at some friend's house that you need to cut off a relationship with that friend's house. Quit going there. Or sometimes it might be down at the local bar or someplace where you know that you are weak and susceptible to the inroads of the enemy. And so as Josiah took on the high places and he tore down the high places, he also took on the idols, the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images. And sometimes we just need to take on the idols in our life. If we have things, as we talked last week, if we have areas in our life that we give more preeminence, more prominence to those areas in our life than we do to God, then that becomes an idol in our life. And it may be a motorcycle, it may be a car, it may be a boat, it may be golf clubs or whatever it is. You've given so much time and devotion and effort to this hobby, to this thing in your life that you've exalted it above God, and you don't have any time to pray, you don't have any time to study God's word, you don't have any time for the fellowship. Then you need to start speaking against those high places. You need to start destroying those idols in your life, one by one by one. Just speak against it. Say, "Lord, I speak against idolatry here. I speak against this hobby that is consuming my life. I speak against pornography that is consuming my life." You speak against it, you repent of it, you repent of idolatry, and you ask the Lord to forgive you, and just go down the list one by one by one. Maybe you've had a problem with sexual immorality. You go down the list of the partners that you've had outside of marriage. You go down that list, you ask the Lord to forgive you, you speak against fornication and sexual immorality, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you repent of your unrighteousness, you repent of your wicked deeds, and you say, "Lord, forgive me," and then you make a statement to right that wrong and seek the Lord and to seek His presence and His strengthening in your life in that area of weakness. Well, secondly, then Josiah took on the job of repairing the temple. He started to restore that which the devil had taken. He started to take back ground that the devil had stolen from him. In verse 8, it says, he sent Shaphan and Maaseiah and Joah to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money which was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and they put into the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord this money, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. And so this house of the Lord represents your holy temple. It also represents the establishment of the Lord, what He wants to do in your life. And so you have to give in. You have to take some of the money that God puts in your hand, and you give in to the kingdom of God. You give in to restore the temple and to restore what the devil has stolen from you. And so Josiah made an offering to the Lord. He didn't waste this money on his own selfish pursuits. He didn't waste this money on frivolous things. He took this money and he used this money to build the kingdom of God. He took this money to restore what the devil had stolen from him and from his people. And so that's a lesson for us as well. You need to make an offering. If you have strongholds in your life that you're dealing with and you ask the Lord to take them away, make an offering to the Lord. If you have a prayer that is coming from your heart that you're crying out to the Lord, you need to make an offering to the Lord. Send in an offering, maybe to this broadcast, maybe to your local church or some missionary or mission project that you know about, but make an offering to the Lord that will establish your commitment and to take back territory that the enemy has stolen in your life and stolen from the kingdom of God. And so Josiah sent this money in. The temple was started to be repaired. And then as they were repairing the temple, an interesting thing happened. And as Hilkiah was repairing the temple, Hilkiah the high priest, it says in verse 14, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law that had been given by Moses. And so this was the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament that was given by Moses. And so in restoring and repairing the temple, they uncovered or found this book of the law that had been maybe stashed back on a shelf somewhere or put in a earthen vessel, an earthen pot, and it had been basically forgotten and ignored. And so when you start to take back territory from the devil, the God that cares about us and loves about us and loves us and knows every detail of our life, that God provides for us even greater blessings and even consequences and blessings that come from His mercy and from His grace on us. So they stepped out in faith. They started to repair and restore the temple, and then God reveals this book of the law that they found. And it says here in verse 19, when Josiah found the book of the law, it says, "Then it happened," or "thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes." Well, he tore his clothes in repentance, and he tore his clothes because he realized, after he heard the words of the book of the law, he realized that his people were in great disobedience and great transgression of the Lord God, who had brought them there to Israel, who had made the way for them to come out of Egypt, that they had been in great disobedience, not only in disregarding the words, but in not keeping the festivals, not keeping the Passover. And so he tore his clothes as a sign of repentance. And so that's a lesson for us, brothers and sisters. When you come before the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart, that's what He wants. He wants for us to repent of our sins, to come before Him with a broken and a contrite heart, and then to turn to Him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind, and all of our soul. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 31 in that same chapter, 2 Chronicles 34, it said the king stood in his place, King Josiah stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book of the law. And so he committed himself. First he spoke against those high places and those idols. He spoke against them, and he destroyed those idols and high places. Then he repented of his sin. He stood before the Lord. He ripped his clothes and cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, have mercy on us. We have no right to stand. We have no right to exist here in this place except for you, Lord. What is impossible for us is possible for you. It's nothing for you." And then he stood before the Lord, and he committed himself to serve the Lord and to keep his testimonies, to keep his statutes, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book of the law. And then Josiah, in 2 Chronicles 35:1, he kept the Passover. He established the Passover. The Passover was when they slaughtered the lambs. It says in verse 1, they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And so they established the law of the Lord. They started to keep the commandments of the Lord. They started to keep his festivals, the Passover and the other feasts of Israel. And so there was a turnaround that the Lord brought Josiah to this place where he recognized that he had to keep these commandments, where he had to commit to these things that the Lord had established in his book of the law. Well, we need to do that too, brothers and sisters. I'm going to invite each and every one of you. First of all, you can send your prayer requests into me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. If you have something that you would like to have me pray with you over, send those prayer requests into me, and I will put them on the altar. I will pray over them. I will anoint them. And if you would like to send them by mail, you can do that, Box 92, Norton, Kansas. I invite you to do that. Let me come alongside you in prayer. You don't have to sign your name. You don't have to identify yourself or anybody else's name in the letters, but you can if you want, or in the emails. But come alongside and let me pray with you, and let me help tear down those strongholds, those idols, and those idolatry places, those high places in your life. And if you will do that, then make an offering to the Lord. Make an offering, step out in faith, and make an offering, and then repent and turn from your wicked ways and commit to following the Lord. Commit to keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his testimonies in your life. You will see strongholds torn down. You will see breakthrough coming down. You will see victory in warfare in places where you have not had victory. I invite you to do that today. Maybe your victory just needs to come in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and starting your walk with the Lord, and saying to the Lord, "Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm tearing down this stronghold of idol worship and false gods and wandering around in the wilderness with no direction. Lord, I want to give my direction to you." If you will do that, if you will commit to that today, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, God will be true and faithful to save you. Jesus Christ will be established. The Holy Spirit will be established in your heart, followed up with baptism. And as you do that, God will bless you, and he will keep you, and he will direct you, and he will guide you. Well, send your prayer requests into me again, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, or pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let's tear down strongholds. Let's tear down idols in our lives in the next week. Lord, we thank you for the people out there listening today. We tear down strongholds under the mighty name of Jesus Christ, under the blood of Jesus, under his wings. We shall establish those out there listening today. And I praise your mighty name, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.